Okay, I think that's enough time. People aren't here, too bad. Okay, so as promised, we're going to talk about stuff for the final today. Let's remind ourselves of what our grade system for this class looks like, right? So this is our grading scale, pretty typical. If you break this down into percentages, it's your standard A, B, C, D, F percentages. Our final exam is scheduled for Friday, May 8th, which is a week from Friday. I think our section is actually from 2 to 4. But I will look into that. It's also on our syllabus. I'll pull it up before I sign off with you guys so I can double check. But that's like a little bit maybe less relevant only because now we aren't doing like, you know, the in-person test and we have a little bit different system. So we'll get back to that. So we've done about 75% of our graded work already. So we've done all of our assignments. Those are all done. All of our labs, so it's 50% of your grade right there is already complete. There we go. Each lab was 40 points. So if you got more than 40 points, you helped yourself out a little bit before the final. So you might be in a really good spot right now. In each of our exams, if you remember the midterm, which we took not that long ago, the midterm and the final are each 100 points. So they each account for 25% of your grade. There we go. And these slides are posted. I don't know if you guys check the schedule before class, but if you get there after class, these slides are there. So obviously the like traditional sit down, we hang out and proctor the test while you guys take it and we answer questions and, you know, make sure we keep everybody honest. That kind of test is like not well suited for our current class format. So we decided to back away from that. It just didn't really make sense. And we just didn't think it translated well. So we've been trying to think of like ways to make this final work with our current online format. And I think what we've come up with is a pretty good solution. This is gonna be like mostly take home stuff that you're gonna do in the next week and a half. You've got about a week and a half to 2 weeks. So we will have, it's gonna have three sections. We will have one like small 20 point section. So basically 20 points of kind of traditional exam questions that are going to pertain specifically to some shell lab stuff, because we wanted to make sure that the shell lab stuff, we've been talking about it all semester, we wanted to make sure that you still get tested on a few concepts from that lab. So we are going to do like a small, like I said, 20 points. It's just a fraction of like what the normal test would be, proctored bit of exam there. And I think we're still kind of working out if we're going to do that with like everybody all at once, or if we're gonna do it in sections of smaller students because it won't take as long. So we'll get back to you probably next week or in the next week with details on that. And we'll certainly also let you know like what you need to review for that portion of the exam as we do. And we'll do that on our normal May 8th test day. The other two sections of this exam are going to be take home. So you've got about a week to complete these other two sections, and each one of these other two sections is worth 40 points. Each one of these take home sections has two choices basically that you can make. One of them will be a programming activity. So it'll be kind of a almost like a mini lab. I don't think either of our programming activity, I mean, certainly neither of our programming activities are as intensive as our other labs, because we're only giving you a week to do both of them if you choose to go that route. But if you're like, no, thank you, I've had enough. We will also have some different like talks that you can watch and just write like some written responses to. And we'll have some prompts that we want you to respond to with that stuff. So you can either like write a couple fairly short responses, or you can do a couple fairly short like kind of coding activities. everything will be submitted to Autolab as we have been doing. So you'll either submit your little bit of commented, of course, always commented. It's like the theme of this class. Make sure that like you let us know like what you're doing with your code, code or two PDF files that are these written responses, or you can mix and match. You can do one if you're like, I want to do the security, like the security programming, but I want to do the systems talk. You can do that. So you've got a little bit of flexibility there. And this is, it's, I know that it's not up in Autolab yet. Or I'm pretty sure that it's not, but it will be, we'll have that first section up by the end of the day today. So you will choose either this attack, this alternative attack lab that we're going to have David demo a little bit of like how this works today after I'm done talking. So your choices for the security topic, which is that first two option block, are going to be solving attack lab again with Pwn tools, which you're going to do using Python. And we don't expect that a single person, like a single one of you, has ever written Python. Like, that's not necessary. You're not going to have to do a deep dive into this language. It's going to be mostly scripting stuff. Like I said, David's going to demo a little bit of that with you. Also, you'll, like I said, you'll be able to like watch a research topic talk. And we've tried to choose ones that we think are like interesting and entertaining and relevant. Like, if there are talks that I didn't want to sit through, I'm not going to try and make you guys sit through them. So I've like been going through and watching all of these and trying to make sure that like they're fun, like interesting, relevant topics and speakers for you guys. That second block is going to be more systems oriented stuff. So we have this lab that we don't get to generally in the semester called Cache Lab. That is going to be a little bit of C coding. It's going to be kind of similar to what we started out the semester with like that the like array ordering stuff and accessing stuff. So you're trying to like see, like we're measuring like cache hits that you do and stuff like that and performance. So that will be a little bit of C code, and I hope you're not completely scarred from Shell Lab, but it will be certainly smaller. So don't like get panic in your eyes already. Or you can do the same thing as above, but with a system topic rather than a security topic, as far as a talk that you write a written response to. Okay, so again, I think I covered this. We'll give you like, the thing that we really don't have yet is that like finalized menu of choices for talks, and we're finalizing like the prompts that we're gonna give you to respond to. So it's gonna be like a 2 to 3 page response, and we'll give you like, you know, one or two prompts that are mandatory, and then we'll give you a menu of other prompts that you could choose from to help you get to those 2 to 3 pages. So we're trying to like lay this out in a way that's not too stressful for you guys. We actually, honestly, with the talk stuff, with all of it, it's more hopeful that you like are able to see how this expands into other things and you take something like from it besides just the general like course content. Like I said, Cache Lab is going to be about memory performance, and it'll be the same thing there. I think that's probably explanatory. Like I said, you can do both programming tasks or both writing tasks, or you can mix it up and do one of each. It's totally up to you, however you want to get through that. But you do have to do one from each of the categories, so one security and one systems. This is submission stuff. Let me get to the bottom slide. There we go. Okay. I think I've already said all this. Your programming assignments will either be a little bit of Python code or a little bit of C code with that are fully commented out. Remember, that's just what we do in systems, and you should be doing that with your code in general anyway. Comments are great. And then the writing assignments, like I said, 2 to 3 pages, and they need to be submitted in PDF format. So that is what we have for you guys. I assume that you have questions, and I'm happy to answer those. And then I'm going to pass it off to David so he can kind of do this demo for you guys. I think we have a lot more time than the first section did. But I also think that Matt explained things a little bit more in depth from the get-go. So I'm assuming you guys will maybe have more questions. So who has questions?
So when you say solve attack lab, do you mean that it's just going to be attack lab in Python?
So David will be able to answer this a little bit more. I haven't looked at this yet. You're going to be using Python to write a script that utilizes these specific tools that will help you solve attack lab. David, you want to jump in on anything that I misspoke about or missed there?
No, I don't think you missed anything really. It's just you'll be using your C target and R target files that you completed your first attack lab with, but instead of using these text files and hex to raw to complete solutions, you have to make a script in Python that will execute all five phases and then submit that to us with comments. So if you already have your solutions for attack lab, you're half of the way there. It's just a matter of figuring out how to translate that into this Python script.
Word.
So you've already done part of the work for that one. And I think that if you're interested in security stuff or CTFs, the Pwn tools, that option there is a really good option. One thing that I didn't mention is that we will still have help hours for this stuff. So even though these are finals, you can still come into help hours and we'll help you. You aren't completely on your own, especially because the help desk really is not going to be able to help you. They aren't prepped for this. When they took this course, they didn't have these assignments or have to do this stuff. So they will not be a resource that you can use, but we will be. So we'll still have help hours Tuesday, Thursday, and then next week, Tuesday. I think that our first, the first section will be due on Wednesday and the second one will be due on Thursday, just to stagger it a little bit. And we may add extra help hours if there's the demand for it or if we feel like it's warranted. So just keep that in mind. Python is pretty straightforward, especially when it comes to scripting, and it's super powerful. This is a great little intro to some Python stuff. You guys should take advantage of learning even the little bit that we do right now. Any other questions? I think the only other thing I wanted to answer before I hand off to David, we've had a few emails about your grades in Autolab. Because of the way that our grading scale is and the way that Autolab does things automatically, those are not currently correct. So don't look at your Autolab grade and be like, wait, this doesn't seem right. Is this number where it says at the end, my average or whatever, is that my grade? It's not. You should be able to figure out your grade as far as just doing the addition for your scores. I finished Shell Lab grading. I don't know if those have been released yet. There's only a couple people who need to maybe add some comments in to restore some points. But if I don't know if you guys can see the comments that I've made yet. So if you have any questions, please just message me on Slack. You can message me privately in the chat. We can catch up really fast. I can look at your grade and let you know if you need to comment anything out to regain some points or whatever. They are due on, one is due on the 6th. I believe the security one is due on the 6th, and that one will definitely get all the options and stuff out to you today. And the systems, the second option, the systems option, will be due on the 7th. And those will likely be due midnight, as our stuff normally is. It's just easier for us to stagger it a little bit so that we have things coming in at different times. And then also, I think it's helpful to give you guys due dates that lead up to the final so that you have time to also review for the final stuff. Okay, any other questions? Cool. Well, I am going to then hand it off to David, and he is going to demo this first security option, coding option, a little bit so that you guys aren't going into this totally blind.
All right, can everyone see that? Y'all can see my screen, right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So this is covering your exam component on Python 3 Impone Tools, and you're going to be translating your AttackLab exploits into a Python script. A little bit about Python first. It's multi-paradigm, which means it supports not only the object-oriented programming that y'all are used to from Java, for instance, but also functional programming. And it's commonly used as a scripting language as well, which is what our primary use is going to be here. And by scripting language, we mean that it's like it can automate a lot of things that you would normally do by hand, and that might even be impossible to do by hand. It's dynamically typed. So unlike in C and Java, where you have to give your variables a type of integer, string, whatever, it doesn't require that. You can assign a variable to be a string, and then you can change it to a number. It doesn't matter. It's up to you to make sure you're using the right types in the right cases. It's interpreted, which means that it's not compiled. There's a program called the Python interpreter that will evaluate your code at runtime and translate each statement into one or more subroutines. And it uses new lines and indentation instead of semicolons and curly braces to delineate statements and blocks of code. It has an emphasis on readability. It resembles plain English in many cases. Here's a quick overview of some of the data types. There are numeric types like integer, float, and complex number. As far as integers go, you don't have to worry about overflows in Python because it does all the memory management for you. So it allocates however much space you need to store any number that you really want to use. There's also string and bytes types, which are kind of similar, but a little bit different, and I'll show you some more of that in a little bit. And then sequence types like lists, tuples, and ranges. A range is like a range of numbers from 0 to 100, for instance, and you would use those often with for loops. A tuple is kind of like a list, except it's immutable. And a list is just a collection of anything you want, really. It can be, you can have, in a single list, you can have strings, integers, floats, even functions, objects. And then a set is a collection of immutable objects that are all unique. So you can't have duplicate items in a set. And lastly, there's the dictionary, which is really handy. It's a collection of key value pairs, and it's really easy to construct on the fly. Now we're going to talk about the Pwn Tools library. This is a CTF framework and exploit development library written in Python. It is designed for rapid prototyping and development and intended to make exploit writing as simple as possible. It can analyze binary files, like your C target and your R target files. It can create tubes to processes running locally, as well as to processes running on a remote server over TCP or SSH. This allows you to send and receive data. You can launch and interact with GDB debugging sessions. And it provides utilities for packing integers into strings and unpacking them, kind of like the way you guys had to encode your memory addresses in Little Endian ordering for the AttackLab. This can do this for you automatically. And it can even generate assembly code. And it does a lot more than just that. You can check out the documentation at that link. So I'm going to give you all a quick demo using this CTF website. I've downloaded a binary exploitation challenge, and it's going to be called Hidden Flag Function. I've already downloaded this and set this up. Can you control this application's flow to gain access to the Hidden Flag Function? Well, first I'll show you guys what your what your final result is going to look like for this programming assignment. So you're going to generate a script that when you run it, like, that it will execute all five phases of Attack Lab. And we are requiring that you do the bonus phase as part of the requirement for this one, but it's not that bad because we're actually going to show you some extra tools for solving the bonus phase as well. But you can see it starts a process. It calls touch one. It says you have a valid solution. It stops the process, and it does that for every single phase. So I've already downloaded this hidden flag function. This is a32-bit program. So that's a little bit different than what y'all are used to, but it really doesn't make that much of a difference as far as this demonstration goes. And we're going to go ahead and open this in GDB to see what's going on. Now they give us a pretty big hint that there is obviously a hidden flag function in here. So we can actually see a list of all the functions in a program by running info functions in GDB. We can see that there is a flag function. There's also this function called chow. And this is really going to be kind of equivalent to get buff in Attack Lab. So we're going to set our breakpoint there when we go to make our exploit. So set a breakpoint on chow. Oops. As we step through this with next instruction, you can see that there's this ISO C99 scanf. This is kind of equivalent to the get s vulnerable function that you guys are familiar with from Attack Lab. So it's going to request some input. Just like in Attack Lab, your input will appear on the stack. As we step through to this return instruction, we've got the stack pointer up here, and we can see that it's going to return to main plus 71. So this is what we want to overwrite. So we got to figure out how big our buffer is, and we can do that in Pwn Tools. So this is a good time to show you all the Python interpreter. It actually makes it really easy to test and debug code on the fly. So we can just run Python 3. And you'll see this prompt with the three arrows up here that tells us that we're inside of the Python interpreter. This is Python 3.6.9. And the first step when dealing with Pwn Tools is to import the Pwn Tools library. And we're going to do it like this, from pwn import star, which imports all Pwn Tools functions into the what's called the global namespace. And it just makes it a lot easier to access these functions instead of having to write. If we had just done import pwn, it would be like, to use one of those functions, we have to do like pwnlib.elf.blah, blah, blah. This way we can just refer to it all by the function name. We can create an ELF object, which stands for executable and linkable format, with this hidden flag function binary file. And it automatically does some analysis for us. It tells us the architecture. It tells us if there's a stack canary, it tells us if there's a non-executable stack and position independent execution. And we can access these things later by doing E dot, for instance, E dot Indian. And there's also what's really handy is E dot symbols, which will show you all of like the named symbols in your binary file, including function names. So you exit by doing exit with parentheses. Let's go ahead and start making our exploit. So at the top, we do from phone import star. And y'all feel free to stop me if anything is unclear along the way here. And we're going to declare that ELF object again using the path to our binary. And now when we run this like Python 3 with that hidden exploit Python script as an argument, you can see that it does the same thing that happened in the interpreter. So another really cool thing we can do is we can use GDB to test our HoneTools scripts in real time. So we can declare a variable called p equals gdb.debug, hidden flag function, which of course is the name of the binary we want to debug. And we can pass it a GDB init script. We're going to have a lot of this set up for you guys, so don't stress about the details of this. The template is like pretty helpful. This is just something you have to do to get it to put a breakpoint on chow. So whenever it loads up, whenever you start your debugging session, it'll automatically execute these commands in GDB. You can do that like this. Well, actually, I'm going to have to use a program called tmux in order to do this, but when you do this on the Systems Lab server, this won't be necessary. It'll automatically open a new terminal window. This is just for my convenience right now. So, Python 3, exploit.py. Okay. Really weird. Right, maybe I was doing Python or something, I don't know. But now we've got our GDB session on the right and our HoneTools session on the left. However, we didn't do anything else besides start this GDB session, so this Python script is terminated. So we need to figure out the size of our buffer, and there's a really easy way to do that in HoneTools. I'm going to go back to the interpreter so I can give you all a demonstration of what this exactly is doing. We're going to use this function called cyclic, which will, you remember from your attack lab exploits that you had to put a whole bunch of padding in there to overflow the buffer. Cyclic will generate a bunch of padding, but it actually will, and it is like a patterned padding that makes it really easy to look at your GDB session and say, okay, that's exactly where I need to like cut off this padding. So for instance, we would do cyclic 80. And it gives you a bytes object of all of these characters, except you can see it has B, C, D, E, F. So when you look at what gets overwritten in the return address, in the return address, it makes it really easy to be like, that's where I need to cut it off. So first thing we need to do is, to make it easy on us, we need to print all of the data that is being sent from this process in our Python HoneTools session. So we do print p.receive because that's going to return a bytes object, we want to decode that to a string. And we can do that by doing decode. And again, this is one of those things that's handled for you in the template, so you don't have to worry about like the minutia of how to decode bytes objects and all that. Now let's do, we're going to send it some data using send line, which means it's going to send whatever we put in here plus a new line character. Cyclic 80. So now when we do Python 3, get an exploit.py. Step through with Nick. What's going on here? We may have to do this. That way it waits for some more info before terminating this script. Now we step through with next instruction. This is our scanf function that is gonna read our input. And now we see that we have our input on the stack. And when we go to this return instruction, this is the stack pointer. This is where our return instruction was before, but now it has TAAA. So we know that we need to cut our buffer overflow off just before this point. So we're going to create a payload variable. And we can give it that original cyclic pattern we generated, but we can also make some transformations to that. So we'll use the split function on it. We want to split it at the sequence of bytes. And the B in front of that quotation mark there tells us that this is a bytes object and not a string object. And because this is going to split that pattern into two parts, we can index, it creates a list when you do split, and you can index into that list just like you would access any other array in another language. So we run it again. Yeah, I do this every time. Now we have to send the payload instead. Scanf is called. We have our exploit on the stack. This time when we go to return, we can see that this memory address is still here. All right. Back to the interpreter. Now, y'all remember earlier when I created that ELF object? We can access the symbols, and from that list of symbols, we can get the address of the flag function. And if we want to, we can actually convert that to hex, which is kind of how we're used to reading memory addresses. And there it is. So we can use this in our script as well. We're just gonna add that onto the end of the payload. can use plus equals to concatenate something else onto your original string. And we're going to use something from their packing utilities called P32. This takes a number and creates a string representation of the 32-bit integer so that when it gets stored in memory, it'll be in the correct little endian ordering and it'll be of the correct length. So e.symbols flag. Now let's try to run this. We get our call to scanf, it reads our input. And now you can see that this return address has been overwritten with the address of flag 0, which is going to get popped into the instruction pointer. So that's a pretty good indication that we've successfully exploited this program to run the hidden flag function. Now here's one of the coolest things about Bone Tools is that it allows you to go straight from testing your exploit to deploying it. So we go back to our exploit Python file. We can comment this out. Let's do comments in GDB, in Python you use this pound symbol. And we replace that P with a process object. So this won't launch a GDB session. It'll just run our exploit and we'll see what we get. And it says, how did you get here? Have a flag. Flag, we love 2467 systems. Now, a lot of times in CTF challenges, you'll get a copy of the binary file, but you'll also have to solve the challenge on a remote server. And we can take this one step further by getting this domain name address and a port number. Usually this is kind of a weird way it's delivering this to us, but we can comment this out and do P equals remote. And now when we run our exploit, it'll connect to the remote server at that address and that specific port, and it'll do all the same things and run the same exploit, and we get their version of the flag, which is 247 CTF and a bunch of junk. One last thing I want to show y'all is if you actually want to see what your payload looks like, you remember before in your like text files for your exploits that it's a sequence of padding 2 bytes at a time, separated by spaces. We can see something that looks pretty similar to that by printing our payload. But we need to import a tool from this bin ASCII. Library called Hexlify, which will convert our characters into their hexadecimal encoded representations. And now you can see where before we had AAAAA, this is 6-1, 6-1, 6-1, 6-1. And at the end, you've got your little endian memory address. So that about does it. Does anybody have any questions about that?
I mean, I wasn't really able to, like, too much attention to it. Internet kept crapping up. I was hearing what you're saying, but I couldn't exactly see what was on the screen. So
my internet was bad.
Yeah, my internet was not agreeing with me for a second.
Okay. Caitlin, was my demo coming through okay on your end? I'm just trying to figure out if that was my connection or Ethan's.
No, it was definitely mine.
Okay. You were okay. There were like maybe one or two spots where you were a little garbled, but only for like, you know, a word or a couple words. So I didn't even like jump in to let you know. I think in general, like, it was probably fine as long as everybody else's connection was okay. If you guys want to like rewatch this, of course, you can like view the video later when you start looking at this. And you can also, if I think the connection was fine for Matt's class too. So if you want to look at it for that class, you can also do that.
Okay, cool. All right, well, I hope y'all enjoyed that. I would definitely recommend learning Python, if not for this assignment, just in general. It's pretty easy to pick up. I would say I'm like intermediate at best with it still, and I get a ton of use out of it, so.
Does anybody else have any questions about any final stuff before we jump off?
Are we?
Well, I have a question. So in one of the slides that I was reading, so we have like two writing assignments and two coding assignments, but after that it was saying that you must choose like one of each, not both of each. Like I got confused in one from each category and not both from each category.
So there's basically like a security, like where you can do either this like Python. And so Sarosha is going to do a demo on Cache Lab on Wednesday. So you guys will have another demo for that one. So now we'll have demos for each of the programming assignments. So you'll choose either the security programming assignment or the systems, sorry, I'm going to say that in a way. You'll choose either the security programming assignment or the security reading assignment. You're not going to do both to get those 40 points. And then regardless of whichever one you choose for that, you're going to choose either the Cache Lab or the systems like writing assignment. So does that clear that up?
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
They're not like sectioned, like they're not in AutoLab yet, but like basically it's like two little blocks. So you'll choose either both programming or both writing or like one of each, but you can't choose one of each from the same, like from the security category. As far as the writing, you don't have to, you actually like don't really need to source or cite anything unless you go off and look something else up on your own. I think Matt, of course we know that like, your source is like the video that you watch. So you can add that as like a URL source. But unless you like get interested and go look up something else and want to bring that into the like into the paper, which is like one of the prompts, like you don't have to actually cite anything else. So yeah, I don't know what that, I don't know. I kind of don't know why I'm saying that, because really the only reference you need or will have in many cases is just going to be that video that you watched. You know, there's no requirement for you to like jump off and look anything else up and like get other info other places. Really, it's just going to be questions like summarize the main points of this topic, like how does this tie into what we learned in systems, did you enjoy this or not enjoy this, what are some other things, like other questions that you have, like typical like writing prompts, like nothing like, you know, out of left field or whatever. Okay, I think that unless anyone else has questions, I will jump off, or you guys can jump off. I'm gonna hang out in case anybody wants to ask anything else.
There's a question in the chat.
I don't even have the chat. Where is it?
Matt asked a question about the writing assignment.
Oh, yeah. So, no, there's no minimum sources. I mean, I guess the minimum sources is just that video. And that'll become a little bit clearer. So, really what it is we've, like, looked at different talks from different conferences or some of the talks that we've mentioned in the slides, like, brief, like, oh, you guys, if you have time, if you're interested in this, go watch this talk. We'll have those. There's no, like I said, there's no requirement for you to, like, look up info outside of the talk. It's the writing prompt will be if you want it to be, if it doesn't like interest you as far as like on your own, you going out and looking up something else because this talk piqued your interest about something. You don't have to like bring in any other citation or reference.
Roger that.
Cool.
Well, peace out.
All right, bye, guys.
Thanks, y'all.
See you later. Thank you.
The first part is due on the 6th, so that'll be the security section. So either the Pwn Tools coding attack lab stuff that David just demoed a little bit of. How to use that stuff, or your writing prompt from the security section, and then the system section, so either Cache Lab or the other writing assignment will be due on the 7th, and then our like little bit of traditional test final will be on the 8th.